Hallelujah. I just wanted to say again and how nice it was of the Seventh-day Adventist Church to invite us to their candlelight dinner. I thought that was really, really cool. And yeah, I'm planning to make it, so we'll see what happens. You know, things happen, but God is so good. He's so faithful. Hallelujah. Who's the reason for the season? Oh, I like that. Say that one more time. Who's the reason for the season? Come on, He is, isn't He? Come on. Hallelujah. I tell this story often, but I got the mic so I can tell it again. Hallelujah. I was, I raised in church, you know, did all the Christmas pageants as a kid, you know, did the singing, did all of that, knew the stories, knew everything. But I didn't know Him. I said, I just didn't know Him. And because I didn't know Him, it didn't have as much meaning. But then there was one day in July of 1977 where I met Him. Made all the difference in the world. I went to church, the church I grew up in, for midnight mass on Christmas Eve. It meant so much more to me. I felt His presence because it wasn't just I knew of Him, but I knew Him in my heart. Fast forward, I went to Bible school, came home from Bible school at Christmas time, and again was in midnight mass, and I was listening to, I don't know how many of you have ever attended a mass, but it's liturgical, and there's some responses and everything, and it's like I'm sitting there and I'm listening to all the words that they're saying, but I hear them say it like this, like, "The Lord be with you and also with you." You know, I mean, that type of thing, which I'm not making a judgment on whether it meant something to them or not, but for me, and they got to the part where they quoted the Apostles' Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and of His only begotten. And they're going through that, and I'm just going, wait. Don't just read through that. Really believe that and mean that. Because everything that's needed to be saved is said every week in that prayer. Because the Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that you'll be saved, right? So, but it was like the difference was Christmas before knowing Him and Christmas after knowing Him made all the difference in the world. Because He's alive, right? I mean, He's alive. It's not Jesus, the babe that was in the manger 2,000 years ago. It was Jesus, the one who's alive and with me right now, in me right now, for me right now, speaks to me right now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to speak to you this morning on being a doorkeeper. Ever say doorkeeper? Hallelujah. Go to Psalms 84. Psalms 84. This is so incredible. Do you know that on our own, none of us would have a shot at being in God's presence, right? God said that, and the Word says that He can have no sin in His presence. And I'm looking at all you holy people out here with holy faces. I know you've messed up at least one time. Just one time, right? Well, the Bible declares that if you mess up one jot of the law, you mess up the whole thing. So what's the news there? It's like I'm sunk without Jesus. But I'm not sunk because I have Jesus. Right? Glory to God. This is so good. In the Psalm 84, and look at verse 8. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. I wonder how many could just say that today. Lord, look at the face of your anointed. I want to stop right there for just a minute. The anointed. Who's the anointed? The anointed, listen, to anoint means, and in the Old Testament it was specifically meant this, that you pour the oil over. Right? There's a description of how when they anointed Aaron for being high priest, that they poured the oil over his head and it dripped down his beard. When we think about the anointing, what we think about is that the Holy Spirit has come upon us. Glory to God. It says that we have the anointing because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. So I can say, and you can say, that we've been anointed. And again, the anointing had connotation of God touched you for a purpose. Whether it was to be a prophet, whether it was to be a high priest, whether it was to be used by God in any capacity, there was an anointing or a touch or a pouring out over our lives, right? I have the anointing because I'm a child of God. You have the anointing because the Spirit of God lives within you. Oftentimes, I think we keep the anointing capped rather than looking for an outlet for it. In other words, wake up in the morning and go, I'm anointed by God to do something today. And watch, that will always mean that God will put somebody in your path. We've said this before, and it's so true. God has blessed us to be a blessing. Right? Everything that He's given to us is so that we can give it away. It's not just to be held up in our hearts and just, boy, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Bless God, I'm blessed. Look at me, man, I'm blessed. Well, could. Give it away. Right? Give it away. What? Give away the blessing. What is the blessing? That I'm anointed by God. That God is with me. That God is in me. That God can use me. I'm anointed by God. So when we read this prayer, we're reading in Psalms 84, again, he says this, he says in verse 9, O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. So when you're praying to God, Lord, look upon the one that you've called. Look upon the one that you've made holy. Look upon the one that you can call upon. And Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll speak to those who you want me to speak for. I'll pray for those for who you want me to pray for. I'm anointed, God, and in that anointing, I will be obedient to whatever you're asking me to do. Right? Come on. So everybody say this with me. I am anointed of God because He's poured out His Spirit upon me. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Verse 10, it says, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. The Lord of hosts, blessed be the man who trusts in you. For a day in your court is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Now, you have to, in order to understand this, you have to get a picture of the Old Testament and the whole temple and the Temple Mount, right? So everybody could come to the steps of the temple. And then there was the courtyard of the temple, right? And then there was the inner courts where the sacrifices happened, and only certain people could go in there. And then there was the Holy of Holies behind that, and this is very brief, but the Holy of Holies that only the high priest once a year could go in to make sacrifices for. But the psalmist is saying, man, I'd rather be a doorkeeper at the house of my God than any place else. Why? Why was he saying that? He was saying, because I'm addicted to his presence.
Holy addiction.
I want to be where God is. I want to be cognizant of his presence. I want to know that I know that I know. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. In other words, nothing compares to this. Hallelujah. Nothing compares to this. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. In other words, Lord, with you is where I want to be. I don't want to be in the way of sin and what's unholy or you know, come on. How many have ever felt like, you know, how come those sinners or those people that aren't walking with God get away with all that they get away with? And you guys probably wouldn't say it like this or pray it like this, but
it's not fair.
Right? It's not fair. You've got your sights on the wrong thing. They cannot come in to the Holy of Holies. They cannot come in to the Holy of Holies, but you can. I can. We can. Listen, I'd rather be a doorkeeper, right, in the house of my God than to have fellowship with a millionaire who is wicked. Right? Come on. Why? Because he's God. He's the Lord. It's his presence that I'm after. It's his presence that I want. The first thing that we must do is honor his presence. Honor his presence. Sometimes I think in our grace-filled, charismatic church, we don't honor the presence of God as much as we ought to. Right? And what I mean by that is, Lord, when I come to worship with my brothers and sisters, I have an expectation that your presence is going to be there. And I want to give honor to that. And we've talked about this before, but it's like, it's frustrating for me because I understand the need of all of us to be in his presence and corporately coming together. It's like I'll see somebody that's in worship, and I haven't seen this for a while, but see somebody that's in worship and they're just really getting into the songs, and you can tell they're having an experience with God. And then somebody will come in late and decide that they've got to go say hi to everybody. In my mind, in my heart, what I'm saying is you've just dishonored the presence of God. And you've interrupted what God was going to do in somebody's heart. So if you want to say hi to people in church, come before worship starts, right? Or wait till after worship, whatever. But especially if you know, you see somebody with their hands raised up, their eyes closed, and they're worshiping God, don't dishonor that. That was free. I wasn't planning on saying that. But it's kind of like we have to come to the place of honor or reverence. Again, I'll just give you this example. I was, my dad passed away, and his, you know, I was raised Catholic. So Catholics have the viewing, and with the viewing, there's a rosary and a, you know, praying the rosary and all of that. And then the next day is usually the service. So I, of course, went to all of the services and was in there. And again, I was an altar boy when I was growing up. I wasn't just an altar boy. I was vice supreme grand knight of the altar boy society. I was, you know, it meant nothing, but it was a nice title, right? But I was there when, and we had to be trained on what to do during every service. So when they're presenting the coffin at a funeral, they've got, you know, this ash thing with incense in it, and it's on a chain, and you've got to do it just right, and all of those rituals, and you go, well, that's just religious. I was in the service, and I was experiencing this again, and I had the Lord speak to my heart, and He said to me, these are the words He said to me, do you see how they reverence me? Do you see how they reverence me? See, in the Catholic Church, they believe that when they do communion, that the wine and the bread is turned into the literal body and blood of the Lord Jesus, and so they have a vestibule and a little thing in the altar that's there all the time. And so in the middle of the church, when you go in, you come down the middle aisle before you go into the seats. You genuflect before. Why? Because you're bowing at His presence. You're honoring His presence. Now, I've seen this in other places when we're down in Central America. It is interesting. We'd have services, and, you know, Guatemala, and I've been to several of them. But what would happen is we'd be started in the service, right? And we'd be starting the service, but there'd be men who came into the service and they'd been at work. And they didn't get off work until late. So they went home and got cleaned up and came into the service, but they were late. Now, this was their custom, is they didn't come to their seat. They went to the altar. And they knelt down because they wanted to make sure their heart was right before they worshiped. See, I'm just speaking about honoring the presence. And sometimes I think in our own personal lives, we'd be good to just spend a few moments just saying, Lord, I don't need to feel it. I don't need to, but I understand that You're with me. And I just want to honor Your presence. Because I want to be that doorkeeper in the house of my God. I just want to be close to You. I want to know You. I want to know Your presence, because there is nothing, nothing, nothing like it on the face of the earth. Nothing. Nothing. I've had some thrills in my life. You know, especially as a kid, you know, I used to snow ski. I used to do all kinds of things that were thrills. Some adrenaline rushes, you know, we'd call them. And my friend Gary, who has passed away and is with Jesus right now, he'd push me over my limit. Right? I often said this. He was the wind, I was the anchor, and we needed both, right? But he'd push me beyond, you know, but it was thrilling. You know, there was an adrenaline rush that comes with doing something exciting. It's like, woohoo, glory to God, going down the slope or jumping off the cliff and not killing yourself, so you're excited about that, right? But watch this. I've never experienced anything that gives me as much of a thrill as when God uses me to touch somebody else. When I know that I know that I know that His presence is with me, and I'm speaking out of the anointing of God, and it's having an effect on somebody else. There's nothing like that in the world. See, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the presence of God than be without Him, even though I have all the worldly pleasures that I could think of. Right? So we have to honor His presence. But Jesus said some incredible things, and I just want to go through a few of them, and just to kind of show you that He's made the way for us to be the doorkeeper of His presence. And in the New Testament doorkeeper, here's what it's supposed to be. I'll just use Gordon say Gordon doesn't know Jesus, Gordon, and I get to talk to Gordon about Jesus, and I say, I'm the doorkeeper. Come on into His presence. All you have to do is just make Jesus the Lord of your life. He loves you. Come on into His presence. Right? I'm the doorman. You're the doorman. To who? To whoever God puts you in front of. But we have to look for those experiences. Lord, use me. Here I am. Use me. But if you pray that, expect to be embarrassed at time or two. Right? Because He'll put you in situations like, Lord, this is going to make me look like a fool. Right? I want to be the doorkeeper of the presence of God. I want to be used by God for people to be enter into His presence supernaturally. And I have to tell you that I've made some of those opportunities, but I've missed some opportunities too. And I have to ask God for forgiveness. I'll just tell you a couple of my failures. Watch this. There was a day when I was working at the shipyard at the time, and I went to a little convenience store, and there was this, I was getting something to drink or something, and there was a lady in there who had a baby carriage, and she was walking up and down the aisle. And she kind of looked lost, and I heard this in my spirit. I said, she's needing diapers or something of that nature, and she doesn't have any money, she's going to steal them. And I could have paid for them. I should have paid for them. That's why God pointed it out to me. But yet, I was too embarrassed or too thinking too much of myself to be the doorkeeper. Right? See, when you do something for God or do something for somebody at the bidding of God, then you're a doorkeeper to His presence and you're saying, here's a taste of who He is. Come on. It can be something big, so it's a huge testimony, or it could just be, Jesus loves you. I was at the store the other day, I forget which store it was. I was Costco, as a matter of fact. It was a Costco. And there was a lady there that was checking me out. And I just said to her, I said, Merry Christmas. God loves you. And her eyes lit up. And it was like she was, it looked like she was beaten down, right? But her eyes lit up and she began to talk to me about a few of the things. And you could see that it made an impact on her day. Just a doorkeeper. Come on in. Come on in. See, God wants to use us. He's anointed us. Go to John chapter 16. The Gospel of John in the 16th chapter. Hallelujah. You know what I like about the deal is that I don't have to be perfect to be in His presence. I just have to have perfection in my heart. Because He who knew no sin became sin so that I could be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 23. We'll start at verse 23. Jesus is speaking. He said, in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I will say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you. Think about this. Jesus having a conversation with you today, this morning, right now. Right now. Right now. And He says, and in that day, what day? This day, today. You will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you. Think about that. How often have we been dishonoring to even utter the Lord's name with an expectation that He hears us? When I say Father in Jesus' name, do you understand that I'm before the throne of God? I'm in His presence. So when I'm praying for my meal, at the, when, and I and I want to get through it real quick, so I just say a real quick prayer, but I should step back a little bit and understand that I'm coming to the Father in His name. Oh, glory to God. I'm talking about being a doorkeeper of His presence. Until now, verse 24, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. These things I've spoken to you that in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. When was that time? That time was when they became born again and the Holy Spirit came to dwell on the inside of them, because they had now had the capacity to hear and to receive. I have that capacity. You have that capacity. Come on, I'm a doorkeeper of the presence of God. Hallelujah. Verse 26, in that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray to the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, and because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God, I came forth from the Father and have come into the world again, I leave the world and go to the Father. What's he saying? He's saying, look, at up to this point, you've had to be with me. I was your doorway in. If you wanted something, you'd come to me, I'd talk to God, and then I'd respond to you. He said, those days are over. Those days are over, because we are now doorkeepers to the presence of God when we come to the Father in Jesus' name. Right? And coming in Jesus' name means so, so much. It means that I'm not coming of my own accord. I'm coming on behalf of the anointed one, and the anointed one, the Messiah, came and gave himself for me, and now I'm identified in him. And so when I come before you, I'm coming as part of his body that's still on this earth, because I'm a doorkeeper of his presence. So Father, I'm coming in Jesus' name. Now go over one chapter and go to verse 20. John 17 and verse 20. It says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's you. That's me. Right? Jesus is praying 2,000 years ago, and he prayed for you. 2,000 years ago, Jesus prayed for me. It's right here. I do not pray for these alone, but I pray for Bruce. Because Bruce will believe in me through Keith's word. Keith is the one who led me to the Lord. I don't pray for just everybody, but I'm praying for those who will receive my word through my people. Because we're the doorkeepers. How many opportunities have we been and had to be one who through our word people could believe? And we don't have to go far, right? I mean, it's like our family, our kids, right? Our workers, our co-workers. Every day, Lord, I'm going to work and I'm going to do my job to the best of my ability, but I'm also cognizant of the fact that you're going with me. So if you want to at any time use me, let me give you another example of how that can happen. I was working swing shift, and I was working with a gal, and you know, she knew that I was a pastor and you know, my beliefs, and we got on the subject of abortion, and she said, Well, she said, I'm, you know, I believe in the right to choose. I said, oh, so do I. I'm 100% for the right to choose. In fact, God has given us the right to choose. I said, but we have the choice to do right or wrong, but we don't have the ability to change the consequences of those choices. So in other words, when you chose to sleep with somebody that you weren't married to or not in love with, right? But you cannot be the one who chooses to not have the child because of your first choice. Because that baby is a baby. And I'm not saying that to condemn anybody. Before I got saved, I thought abortion was great. It was just, you know, we're not ready, that kind of thing. I'm not innocent in all of that. I get it. But I do believe now with all of my heart that God knows us from before we're in our mother's womb. And there's no mistake in the womb. Right? But my point of that whole story was, is that in that moment, I didn't think of that response beforehand. The Holy Spirit gave me that response at the second that I needed it. She never brought up the subject again. Now, I didn't say that to win an argument, but I said to plant a seed into her heart. Come on. Right? Because I carry the presence of God, and I'm going to open that door. You may not want it today, but you're going to have this in your storehouse for later years, right? That's what I'm doing. Hallelujah. Chapter 17 and verse 21, it says, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I've given them, and that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect and in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and I have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known you, and you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and I will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Come on. I'm in Him and He's in me, and He's given His love for me, and I've been introduced to His love, but if I'm really exposed to His love and I'm operating in His love, then the world should see something different in me. Right. And again, I'm not, I've only got my experience to tell you about, so I'm not bragging on myself, but I'm bragging on the work of the Holy Spirit in somebody's life. I got saved. And have you ever heard this? Well, you know, if you get saved, if you become a Christian, you're going to have to give up all your friends. I found that they gave me up, right? I mean, I'd go to a party after I got saved and it would be Jesus, 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 Jesus. They didn't like hanging around with me that much, you know. And again, some of those folks that were my friends there are still my friends. Some of them are in heaven. But the reality is that I was different and they knew it. I was different and they knew it. One of my friends, his dad was going through sickness, and he said to another one of my friends, he said, well, if it gets really bad, I'll go to Bruce, because Bruce, I know God hears him when he prays. Again, that's not me, but that's the work of the Holy Spirit. in me. And the moment that I got saved, I was different. See, again, I told you earlier that I had a knowledge of God growing up in the church, but I didn't know God. But when I gave my heart fully to God, it was completely different. It wasn't an experience that I had. It was a relationship that I had. And I had been entered into this prayer that Jesus said that through their word, I'll believe. And that belief put me in relationship with Him. And it changed my life forever. It wasn't that I couldn't do certain things. It's that I didn't want to do certain things. And if I knew God didn't like certain things, I didn't want to do them because my whole purpose was to be in His presence, right? And I didn't want to do anything to dishonor my Father. Glory to God. I'm a doorkeeper in the house of my Lord because I'm His in His presence. And I'm in His presence because of what Jesus did for me. Isn't that awesome? What a responsibility. What a glorious thing. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Y'all getting something this morning? Come on. I think it's for us to begin to understand that we are carriers of His presence. I'm a carrier of His presence. You know, we're living at a time where if you became exposed to COVID, then it's automatic that you're a carrier of that COVID and don't be around anybody for a while, right? Because you're a carrier, or you have the potential for carrying that virus, right? Well, you're a carrier of the Holy Spirit, right? And God wants you to be around others and infect them with the love of God that's been given to you. Just say, I'm a carrier of the Holy Spirit. I'm a carrier of the love of God. I'm a carrier of the wisdom of God. Woo! Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 4, I'll start verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. Jesus is my high priest. Jesus presented His blood before the Father, and because it was accepted as holy, I'm now holy. Jesus is my high priest. He's the one that took the blood of the sacrifice and presented it before God. And God said, it is accepted. That's so good. That's so good. Verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus knows what you're going through. Jesus knows temptation. He knows what it means to resist the will of God. He knows. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane? He was going, Lord, not my will, but Your will be done. Lord, let this cup pass by me. God, I know what the plan is. I know what I'm supposed to do. But Lord, if there's any other way. And the temptation to be drawn away from that was so intense that He sweated blood coming out of His forehead. He knew what temptation was like. So our excuse of, well, Lord, you know, I'm only human. And there's other people who say, you know, Lord, I just got to sin a little bit every day. Who said? Who said? We have a high priest, right? We can go to Him for help. Watch this in verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly. Boldly. Boldly or confidently or with great assurance to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. But not just for us, but for others. I can go to God with great confidence that when I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm before the throne of God, just like we are right here, right now. Hallelujah. You know, there have been, and I don't see them the way other people do, but we've been in services where the presence of God was so strong, people saw angels around the room. We've been in places where there's people that have actually seen like the wall separate from and seen angels coming and descending into the building. Now I haven't seen them. But I know they're here. I know they're here right now. See, I know we're in a gymnasium, right? But the Spirit of God is here. Why? Because I have a high priest who went before the Father in my name, and he carried my sin into the Father, and my sin has been not only forgiven, but I've been cleansed from all of the unrighteousness, and I no longer have that, so I can be boldly in his presence. But coming boldly before his presence makes me a doorkeeper of that presence so that I can then be used by God to minister to somebody else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's, a couple of verses and then we'll close. Go back to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Lord. He is holy. Look at verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. To who? To me. To me. To me. Right? The Lord will give grace and glory. And no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Who's that? That's me. Come on, that's you. Our choice, though, is to be a doorkeeper in his presence and walk in that presence, being cognizant of his presence. The more cognizant you are that he is with you, that he is in you, it will put a guard on your mouth, and it will make you understand certain things.
Hallelujah.
Right?
Sounds a little supernatural.
It sounds a lot supernatural. All right, one more verse of Scripture. Go to Psalm 37. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice for to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Hallelujah. Do we have any doorkeepers in here today? Woo! Do not fret, verse 1 says, because of evildoers, nor be envious of workers of iniquity. Because I'm a doorkeeper. For they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Lord, sometimes life is just not fair, and sometimes I don't understand life, and sometimes, Lord, it just doesn't seem right. But I'm putting all that aside, and I just trust you. I trust you. In this world, you said I'd have tribulation, but I could be of good cheer because you're with me. I'm in you, and you're in me, Lord. I thank you for your presence right here, right now. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. I like that. We're not to leave the land. We're supposed to dwell in the land. What does that mean? You might be around some numbskulls at work or at home. You might be around some people that aren't godly, but you're not supposed to leave those people. You're supposed to dwell with those people. Why? So that you can be the doorkeeper. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. God, even though I don't understand it, I know you're faithful. Watch this. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Lord, I'm in your presence and I delight in your presence. I delight with right. I delight with what you say. Lord, you're right all the time, 100%. I love this. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. That can be interpreted two ways. If you're with God, and you're with God, will give you things to bring you delight. But also, spending time with God will change your heart's desires. All right? It'll change your heart's desires. Lord, I might have wanted this, but I want you more than that. So forget that. I'll take you. Right? So my desire is no longer for how much money I can give or how many toys I can have or how my desire now, Lord, is to be used by you and to see how many people that I can affect for your kingdom. That's my desire. Because I'm a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we just give you the praise and the glory and the honor. I wish, Lord, we could say that 100% of the time that we're 100% faithful to what we're preaching about today. But Lord, you know our hearts. I pray for everybody that's watching online, everybody that's in the room, Lord, that you would just touch them. Speak to them. Use these words that I've spoken, Lord, to somehow minister to the needs of every person. Whether they're here and they've never made Jesus the Lord of their life, or maybe they've walked with the Lord and are not walking with them now, I just ask you, God, to draw them back to you right now in Jesus' name. If you're here in the room or at home and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or you walked away and you want to come home, we're all going to pray this together. I'll pray. You just repeat it after me. Say, Father, I come in Jesus' name. I need your love. I desire your love. I want to be in your presence. I know that no sin can be in your presence. So I need a Savior. I need Jesus. And Jesus, you died on the cross to cleanse me of my sin. So I believe in my heart, and I'm saying with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and that God, you raised him from the dead. So my faith that the blood was enough to cleanse me and to make me right with you. Help me, Lord, to live for you and be that doorkeeper that honors your presence in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, anybody that needs healing in their body, I ask you to touch them. Anybody that needs their needs met, let them be met. And in Jesus' name, Let them go in peace. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah.